Read and hear more about important news and policy issues at ncpolicywatch.com. This is News and Views.
Welcome back to News and Views. I'm Rob Schofield. When legislators return to Raleigh in a couple of weeks, they will be faced with a decision that the Republican leadership has been rejecting for much of the past decade. The issue is whether North Carolina will join 37 other states in expanding Medicaid. Over the summer, we sat down with Leighton Koo, a professor of health policy and management in the Milken School of Public Health at George Washington University. Koo is the lead author of the study, The Economic and Employment Benefits of Expanding Medicaid in North Carolina.
Well, Professor Leighton Koo, welcome to News and Views. Thanks so much for being with us.
Thank you. Happy to be on the phone.
Well, let's talk about your new report, The Economic and Employment Benefits of Expanding Medicaid in North Carolina. This is obviously not a brand new topic. Talk to us about some of the key findings you've made in this most recent release.
So, as you mentioned, this is an update of a report we did a few years ago that basically said, what happens if North Carolina accepts the option to expand the Medicaid program? And right now, Governor Cooper has proposed to expand it effective November 2019. So we first did some analyses, and we examined, well, how many more people would get health insurance coverage? Our estimates indicated that by 2022, more than 600,000 people would have Medicaid coverage, basically 2 or 3 years down the line. What happens is when the Medicaid expansion occurs, the federal government will pay 90% of the cost of the expansion. And so because of that, we'd estimate that over 3 years from 2019 to 2022, basically $12 billion in federal funds would flow into North Carolina. First, they'd go to pay hospitals, doctors, pharmacies, et cetera, for healthcare costs. But after that, it sort of flows into the rest of the economy. People, basically, what happens, all these places, they're paying money to staff. They're purchasing goods. It flows into the economy as people take higher wages, salaries, they go pay their rent, they buy groceries, they pay for transportation. The net effect is that $12 billion in extra business activity occurs in the state of North Carolina, and as a result of that, there is more employment. So we'd estimate that by 2022, about 37,000 more jobs will exist in North Carolina than exist today. About half or so will be in the healthcare field, but the other half will be in basically every other field in North Carolina, construction, retail, professional jobs. So there's a broad increase in employment that'll help out the state. And I'll say that in addition, what we find is that basically it'll help every corner of the state, obviously to a certain extent, because there's some of the bigger areas, some of the bigger counties in North Carolina will see employment, but we'll also... We basically, in this report, sort of look on for every one of the 100 counties in North Carolina. Boy, you guys got a lot of counties down there. Basically, there are increases in employment that will occur because of the Medicaid expansion. So the Medicaid expansion will help out the economy in North Carolina. It'll actually increase tax revenues that the state government and the local government, the county governments have. It's not because tax rates will increase, but because basically there's extra income in this state, people will be paying a little bit more simply because their incomes increase. I mean, obviously, overall, their incomes are going up, but there'll be some help to state and county governments also, because I certainly realize one of the concerns is how is the state going to pay for this?
Gosh, there's so much packed into all those numbers. Let's talk for a second about who are these people? North Carolina has 10 million people, roughly, maybe a little more than that now. When we're talking about adding 634,000 people to the insurance rolls, that's a lot of folks. Who are these people?
Mostly we are talking about working-age adults, generally speaking, who have relatively low incomes. So it may surprise people to know that in North Carolina, of working-age adults, so 18 to 64, one-sixth of North Carolinians are uninsured. So that is a much higher level than the national level. We can look at some of the nearby states that expanded Medicaid a couple of years ago. So, for example, in Kentucky, 7% of adults are uninsured. In West Virginia, it's 9%. So the level in North Carolina is twice as high. They are, generally speaking, adults. Often they're working, but they're working in low-wage jobs. Their employer doesn't offer them health insurance coverage. They're the kind of people who could be helped out if there was some extra assistance.
Now, let's talk about the benefits to the economy. Obviously, you have lots of experience in other states that you've looked at, right? North Carolina, what is it, 37 states plus D.C. have already done this. So this experience that you're basing your research on isn't just guesswork. I presume you're looking at some of the what's happened in the other parts of the country, right?
So we have looked at the other parts of the country. We know that in general, unemployment is down all across the country, including North Carolina. But certainly part of what's happened is the extra gains that have been because of some of the Medicaid expansions that occurred, as you said, in about two-thirds of the states. And certainly we can see some specific areas where it's helped. So one of the things that's helped out specifically, because, you know, the first stop will be that it'll help out healthcare. So we can see that, for example, in North Carolina, as in many other states, rural hospitals have been having some financial problems. So our data show that in the past few years, actually this is data from UNC, from the Shep Center, which is a part of the University of North Carolina.
Right.
They basically say that 7 rural hospitals have closed in North Carolina. Apparently one of them has reopened, but then there's another one, Randolph Health, that's in trouble right now. That's a pretty high rate in which hospitals have been closing. We can compare states that expanded Medicaid and states that didn't expand Medicaid, basically because Medicaid is providing more money to help people meet their medical bills. It's helping prevent the closure of rural hospitals.
Mm-hmm.
So that's something specific that helps out. And so basically means there's a little more employment for people who can work in those hospitals, not just as doctors and nurses, but also as everybody else who's working in the hospital, whether they're working as medical aides, whether they're working in the kitchen section, whether they're doing transportation. So there are some broad gains that occur. And again, the people who gain jobs will then have more money to go participate in the economy in general. Again, they'll buy more groceries, they'll be able to pay their rent and their mortgage. So the benefits sort of broaden out to the other parts of the state, too.
The folks who are resisting this, the leaders of the state legislature, Senator Phil Berger, Speaker Tim Moore, have raised a couple of issues that they say militate against expansion. They say that the federal government could decide not to fund its portion of expansion. Right now, the federal government's paying for 90%, but maybe someday they won't do that, and then North Carolina will be left with the bill. Other states seem not to have been too concerned about this.
There certainly has been a risk that is theoretically possible. On the other hand, I've heard this risk being posed since 2010, since the Affordable Care Act was passed. It hasn't happened yet. If anything, if we think about it, the things that would sort of lead it to happen, there were strong attempts to sort of repeal the Affordable Care Act a couple of years ago. They failed in Congress. I don't think anyone thinks that they have a better chance. Basically, polling suggests today that the Affordable Care Act is more popular than ever. So while it's certainly true that the legislation could change, it is also the case that any sort of legislation can change. It could be that the United States will at some point decide, gee, we don't feel like supporting the military. We don't feel like we want to support education. That's not a good reason to not act, given that the federal government has done this. If you think about it, the fact that now two-thirds of the states have expanded Medicaid means it's really hard to believe that Congress has said we're going to take this away.
Yeah.
If it would mean that two-thirds of the states would be awfully upset.
The other criticism that Berger and Moore and others on the right have raised is the concern that this will somehow discourage people from working, or that maybe we ought to have a work requirement in order to access Medicaid benefits. I mean, we know from your research that a lot of the people who would benefit are already working. Does this make sense to you, the notion that maybe some people would give up working if they could get health care through Medicaid?
Well, there's been lots of research on this area. It basically says Medicaid expansions do not discourage people from working. And part of this is, if you think about it, when we provide Medicaid health insurance coverage to people, it doesn't put a dime in their pocket. It doesn't help pay their rent. It doesn't help them meet their grocery bills. So it's not a financial inducement. It helps them when they get sick. Actually, the people who gain some money are the people, doctors, nurses, pharmacists, who are in the healthcare field, gain some money. But so people are not going to say, gee, I don't need to work because I have health insurance. The one exception to this might be people who are quite sick. So if people who are already fairly sick basically say, gee, as long as my health care coverage is covered, I can maybe, you know, don't need to keep this job that's causing me all sorts of problems. But again, the research that has existed says it's not so. And then in addition, I think that most people would say, But gee, if people are really fairly sick and have a disability or have a chronic health problem, shouldn't they be getting health insurance? They're the people who need it the most. They're part of the people who are being excluded from coverage right now.
It would stand to reason that if more people are within the system, then they're more likely to receive preventative care, which would in turn presumably reduce, we'd have fewer incidents of really high health care costs where people have to go to the emergency room or they've got serious illnesses that might have been forestalled by virtue of having preventative care.
Absolutely so. So in the few years since the Medicaid expansion occurred, really, so beginning 2014 or so, there have been more than 100 studies that have examined what are the health consequences of this. And generally speaking, they show positive effects. So along the lines that you're talking about, we know that in states that have had Medicaid expansions, actually more people are having medications to help them stop smoking. So that we know is the number one preventable cause of disease in the U.S. If we can help more people sort of kick the habit, then that's helpful. In the same vein, one of the big crises going on in the country right now is opioid addiction. When Medicaid has expanded, it helps people get better access to treatment for opioid addiction. So it enables them to get the sort of medications, the kind of counseling that can really sort of help them to stay off opioids so that they can lead safer, more productive lives in the future.
It's really important research. We really appreciate your doing it. We hope it has an impact on the debate here in North Carolina. Leighton Koo is a professor of health policy research and management at George Washington University. The study is The Economic and Employment Benefits of Expanding Medicaid in North Carolina, June 2019 update. You can find it on the NC Policy Watch website in addition to many other places. You just Google it. But, Professor, thank you so much for your fine work.
Thanks a lot. It'll be interesting to see how things proceed.
Coming up next, we hear from Democracy North Carolina's Tomas Lopez. Don't go away.